Great, Jess, thank you. And Tim, thank you for leading us in prayer for our time together as well. I've done some little handouts for us this week, which, if nothing else, will let you know how soon to the end we are. So I hope they might be a help to us as we follow along. Man United have been in the news this week. Anyone know what for? The most profitable football club in the world. You can look up the figures of some huge sum of money that they manage to get every year. And Jose Mourinho is the manager there, for those who aren't au fait with these things. And I just want you to imagine for a moment that you get a call from Jose one day. And he says, you know, I've been keeping my eye on your football and... you know, you're really good. I wondered if you wanted to come and join the club. And you have a think about it, and you say to him, well, you say, thanks very much for the offer. You know, I'd really love to come and work for you as my my manager. You know, I think you're a great guy. I think you've got some great things to say. Just one small request. Any chance I could avoid playing for Man U? I mean, it's nothing personal. I just don't really like red, and I tend to be quite busy at the weekends. But apart from that, it'd be great. You know, I think I could get some, you know, you could really help with my keepy uppies. So the coaching staff at Man U would be able to help me improve some of my skills and so on. So apart from the small thing of not playing for Man U, I'd love to take it. What do you think? Now, obviously, that doesn't work, does it? The whole point is you work under Jose Mourinho and you play for Man U. The two kind of go together. You can't avoid one and get the other. Now, when we look at the Bible, we see the same is true of Jesus and his people. You can't have Jesus as your coach, as it were, without being part of his team, the church, by which we mean not a building, but the people, the guys sitting around you at the moment. And we've seen that over the last 3 weeks. Do you remember? The church is Jesus' bride. He is passionately committed to his people. How can we not be? The church is the sheep Jesus leads, not just kind of scattered individuals, but a flock together. And today we're thinking through a final picture of how Jesus relates to us as a church family. Jesus is our head, and we are his body. We're united and held together by him. And here's the point, if you're joined with the head, you're part of the body. You can't avoid it. The body is the team, if you like, that all those who trust in Jesus belong to. And as we unpack this fantastic picture from this passage in Ephesians 4 together, I hope what we'll see is this, that being an active, committed member of this body is so wonderful, you wouldn't want to miss out. But also, being an active, involved member of this body is so essential that you can't afford to miss out. So that's kind of where we're going as we think through this picture of Jesus, our head, we're the body. And we've got a couple of headings. Here's the first heading, as you can see on your handouts. We are a body united together by Christ. Have a look at verses 15 and 16. Of Ephesians 4. We're on page 1175, if you've managed to lose the place. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Ephesians, often uses this picture of the body to describe God's people. We saw an earlier reading in 1 Corinthians of the same thing. It's a brilliant picture of what the church is. Because, of course, bodies have lots of different parts that do lots of very different things. But all those parts form one body. So the medics here, we've got a few medics here will tell you how diverse and complex the body is. They spend 6 years studying it before they're allowed to do anything. But at the same time, when James walks in, we don't say, oh, look, here comes 3 billion blood cells, 284 bones, a load of tendons and joints and some vital organs. We say, oh, it's James. Great to have you here, James. That's the whole point, isn't it? Lots of different parts, but one person. And that's a picture of us as a church family. Great diversity, but united together. So here at St. Mary's, we have high-flying execs and the unemployed. We've got youth and the youthful at heart. We've got those who are good with books and those who are better with people. We've got sports fanatics and those who didn't understand the first 2 minutes of my sermon today. You've got some people who, at our social this afternoon, put cream on your scone first, and you've got some people who got it the right way around. Within our church family, there is racial diversity, economic diversity, social diversity, personality diversity, age diversity. You get the point? We are diverse. And yet, we are united. Have a look at verse 15 and 16 again. We will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love. Do you see the picture? How is it that we're united together? We have the same head. Jesus is the head. You know, we might be a hand or an eye or a tendon or a joint, but we are all held together by the same head, Jesus. And there is no other group in the world like it. It's amazing. Only Jesus Christ is able to bring together such a diverse group of people into one body. And here are a couple of big applications of this. First application, the key to genuine unity is keeping Jesus central. So as you know, the kind of tendency in the world is to kind of cluster around groups of people who are just the same as us. So you guys see it at school all the time. You know, the cool people are all over there in a corner, and the kind of computer kids are all over there in a corner, and you know, the skaters are over there, and I don't really know what the groups at school are anymore, but you and I'm just showing how out of touch I am, but you get the point, because actually in adult life, it doesn't change very much. You get the same kind of thing. People who are alike, all just hanging out together. And you know, our tendency at St. Mary's will be the same. It's so much easier and more comfortable just to get to know people who are the same as you. And if that happens, well, of course, we might be diverse, but we're not really properly united if we're all just in these different groups. But you see, if we keep remembering that whatever differences we might have, we have the same head, but we'll begin to express a genuine unity as we cross over those boundaries, as we actually form loving relationships with people who are genuinely very different from us. So that's the first application. The key to genuine unity is keeping Jesus center, remembering he is our head. Second application, though, the key to genuine diversity is also keeping Jesus central. So the heart of the good news in the Bible is that God shows his grace, his undeserved favor and forgiveness to all people, irrespective of who you are. Now, this was a scandal when Jesus came himself. Do you remember the religious leaders? They said, oh, Jesus, what are you doing hanging out with those people? You know, they expected him just to side with a particular type of person. They thought he should be with the moral people. And Jesus kept saying, no, whoever you are, you've got the same problem of sin in your heart, a rejection of God. Whoever you are, I'm going to the cross to pay for your sin. And you know what? Whoever you are, if you repent and believe in me, you can have full forgiveness and total acceptance with God. That's what Jesus, that was his message. That's what he came to say. And it's a total leveler. And that's the thing that makes such diversity possible within a church. You see, you may be homeless, or you may own three homes, but Jesus died for you both. You may be a prostitute who feels broken and ashamed, or a social worker. Jesus died for you both. You may have left school at 16 with no qualifications, or be a scientist at the top of your game. Jesus died for you both. You may have grown up in a Christian home, or you may have never gone to church in your life before. Jesus died for you both. So you see, the more central Jesus and his grace is to us as a church family, actually the more diverse we will become, we should become. And just a plea to some of us here who perhaps you say, yeah, you know, I just feel uncomfortable coming to church. I don't quite feel like I fit in. Well, please, you're in the right place. Keep coming. We long to be diverse because we're convinced Jesus came for you too. But you see, the danger for us, I think, is that subtly we introduce other things that we unite around that aren't Jesus and his grace. And you know, anything we unite around that isn't Jesus and his grace will exclude people and narrow us. Here are a few examples. So we could begin to kind of gather together, unite around the fact that here at St. Mary's, we're all terribly clever. And you know, anyone who feels that they're not really that clever, they think, oh, well, I could never really be part of things here. I wonder at your growth groups. If someone wasn't so good at reading, would they feel like they could be part of things? We could begin to unite around the fact that, well, we're all terribly nice here at St. Mary's. That's what holds us together. And so anyone who comes from a broken or hurting background thinks, oh, well, I could never be part of things here. I'm not like that. I wonder, do we admit our weaknesses and sin to each other in the security of Jesus' grace? You see, if we don't, if we think, oh no, the key thing is to be nice, then well, we just end up excluding people, the broken. I don't know, perhaps we could unite around the fact that we're all quite well off here. And we all go on nice holidays and lots of meals out. And you know, anyone who's living on the breadline thinks, well, I could never be part of things here. St. Mary's, that's what people are like. Do you see, as soon as, even without meaning to, you make something other than Jesus and his grace central, and kind of uniting around that, you just end up excluding people, being exclusive. So the key to genuine unity is keeping Jesus at the center. The key to genuine diversity is also keeping Jesus and his grace right at the center. So that's our first big point then. We are a body united together by Christ. Here's our second point for today. We are a body growing up together in Christ. And this is where we get to the heart of Paul's big point here in Ephesians 4, which is, kind of simply put, is this. God's plan for us is to grow us in maturity. That's his plan for us. And the only way to do that is together. As a body. That's the logic simply put. His plan is to grow us. The only way that's really possible is together as a body. Have a look at verse 13. And this will show you the goal. And then we'll step through the logic that reaches, that kind of steps into that goal. So verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So do you see what he's saying? Look, the goal for us as individuals, as a church family, is complete knowledge of Jesus, to love him with all of our hearts, to live for him with all of our passion and strength. The goal is that we are all growing towards that. And actually, he says the same thing in verse 16. We've already seen it. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the goal. And Paul's big point here is that if that's going to happen, we need each other. With apologies to kind of non-sporty sections of the body, let me return to Man U again. I guess one of the strange things about wanting Mourinho as a manager but not having anything to do with the team is that you can only really get better as a footballer if you're part of a team. Okay, there's only so much you can do with skills and drills and fitness training. If you want to get better at football, you've got to be on a team because it's a team game. That's just the nature of it. And you know, the same is true of the Christian life. The Christian life is unavoidably a team game. God calls us into a body, and you know, that body is essential for our growth and our nurture and our health as Christians. And that's exactly what we see in this passage. Let's step through the logic together. It starts at verse 11. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Point's pretty simple here. He's saying that Jesus has given his body, that's us, the gift of teachers who can tell us about Jesus so we can keep learning about him. We've seen, haven't we? Jesus is the key both to our unity and our diversity. He's the key to everything. So we've got to keep learning about him. And so Jesus gave us, well, you see there, apostles. They were the guys who brought the first truth about Jesus, the truth we now have written in our Bibles. He gave us prophets who proclaimed that truth with particular power. He gave us pastors and teachers, people like me who work in local churches to bring this truth to bear so we can understand it together. And so you see where it starts. The whole body is learning the truth about Jesus together. But do you see where it leads to, verse 12? He gives these gifts of teachers, verse 12, to prepare God's people, that's all of us, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, that those teachers Jesus has given, their job is to prepare all of us for works of service. So as together we learn more about Jesus, we put that truth to work by loving and serving each other. You know, people sometimes say, I come to St. Mary's because I really like the teaching. I come for the teaching. It's got great teaching. It's great that people say that. But teaching is only the first part of a chain. It's just the preparation, according to verse 12, preparing God's people for works of service. Do you see, the final goal is that God's truth would so change us and shape us that we love each other and we serve each other. Actually, the truth of God's word preached every Sunday is a means to an end. It's an essential means to an end, but it's still just a means to an end. That end is that we love each other, that we serve each other. And wouldn't it be wonderful if St. Mary's was known as a church family that was marked by love and service? Because you see, when that happens, verse 12, so that the body of Christ is built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, that's how we become united and mature. That's how we grow. And do you see the point? We need each other. It's a team game. We need to be serving each other as we learn the truth together if we're going to be growing together. And it's not just in kind of receiving other people's service that we grow. It's in serving ourselves. It's great to hear from Brian and Liz the way that they've grown over the years through serving. That's why it's such a good thing for us to get plugged in serving ourselves. It'll help us to grow as Christians. And actually, if we neglect all of these things, well, do you see the warning in verse 14? Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. You see, if we're not rooted in the truth and growing and serving each other from it, well, you know, we'll be gullible to all kinds of crazy teachings out there on the internet or wherever else it might be. And that takes us back to where we began. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And I love verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. Yeah, we need Christ's gift of Bible teachers, but we also need to speak the truth to each other informally. Again, it's a community thing. You see, no matter how many sermons you listen to on the St. Mary's website, there's nothing quite like someone who actually knows you coming up at the end of church saying, oh, bro, I know it's been a dreadful week for you. Here's a truth from the Bible that I found really encouraging. Why don't we pray? You know, you can listen to all the John Piper sermons online you like, but there's nothing like that. And the whole point is it takes a community to actually teach each other and build each other up in that kind of way. You see, we are a body united together by Christ. We're a body growing up together in Christ. We need each other. And that means that if you are a Christian believer and are neglecting church and your church family, well, you're neglecting your entire spiritual growth. This is not just some kind of side compartment of the Christian life if you've got time. It's crucial for your entire health and growth as a Christian. And actually, lack of kind of a deep commitment at church is a huge problem for us as a culture, I think, at the moment. We're a culture that is often busy, and we find our identity in what we do. So we jam our diaries fuller and fuller and fuller. We live in an individualistic age that tells us only to commit when it's not inconvenient to me personally. And all of that means that even for people who call themselves committed Christians, commitment to church is going down and down and down. But if church is God's means of both expressing the gospel, this unity, this diversity, and also God's great means of growing us, well, it's a huge problem, isn't it, if this is happening? So as we finish, I thought it might be helpful to be really practical and offer a few thoughts on why people tend to keep on the fringes of things at church and what we might do about it. I suppose this might apply to us personally. It might apply to people who we know, and I hope it'll give us some tools to be able to encourage them and build them up as well. So here are a few reasons then that someone might be on the fringes of things. First, you're not yet a Christian. Okay, now if this is you, it's so great to have you here. Now obviously you're thinking, I just want to keep a low profile here. I want to come in, I'm interested, I want to hear a bit more about Jesus, and that is great. Please keep coming. You know, of course you're not signed up, you're not part of the body yet. It's fine just to come and go, and please don't feel any pressure at all. But, you know, there'll be some here as well, I imagine, who call themselves a Christian, but actually you're just really a nominal Christian. You've not actually trusted in Christ. You've not actually had a work of God in your life. You just come to church because you come to church. It's just what you've always done. And it means that you're kind of on the fringes of things. Don't really get involved because, well, you know, it's just don't really see the point. And actually, an indifference to church family is often quite a good sign that someone is just a nominal Christian and not the real thing. Listen, if that's for you, what I would say is this. Don't just come to church. Come to Christ. And then join the body. So that's the first thing. You might not yet be a Christian. Second reason we might be kind of keeping on the fringe of things at church. There might just be emotional blockers to committing here. Okay, some of us find big crowds of people a challenge. Others have been hurt by people at church. Others just feel emotionally very vulnerable. And for all of those and many other reasons, coming to church can just feel really hard. And if this is you, well, what an encouragement to have you here. It's hard, but it is important that you keep working towards being genuinely involved at church. We need you, and you need us. I've been trying to plug this really excellent little book for you, Why Bother with Church? Sam writes brilliantly on this very issue for people who just find it hard, who feel like they've been hurt by church. Do get it, either for yourself or for a friend, and do chat to me about these things if they're issues for you. These are kind of emotional blockers. Thirdly, though, there may just be practical blockers to committing. So some of us here are in jobs with shifts that make regular attendance difficult on a Sunday or midweek challenging. Some of us have elderly parents who we need to support at the weekend. Some of us can't drive and depend on lifts. Some of us are the only Christians in our family. So, and you know, all of us are busy and committed to all kinds of different things in all kinds of different ways. And if you're thinking, yeah, you know, this is me, it's just a practical thing. Well, this is what I'd say to you. I'd say, look, ask yourself, do you really want to make church family a key priority in your life? Is that actually a desire? Because usually, even with practical challenges, it's possible to make something work if you really want to. It might require a bit of creative thinking and rejigging some other commitments. But I can think of people who've had massive practical blockers to being involved at church, and yet they've wanted to make it work, and so they have. And of course, we want to serve you in this as well. So come and talk to us. So come and say, look, I want to be involved, but I find it hard for X, Y, and Z, and we can talk these things through. Perhaps that's you, just practical blockers to committing. But finally, I guess, it might just be that church simply isn't a priority. I guess for some of us, we come along to church when we happen to be free, and it happens to kind of fit our schedule. But we don't think about actually working our schedule around being fully involved and committed in our church family. And we might say, oh, I've been busy, but actually the reality is church simply isn't a priority for us yet. And for you guys, I just urge you to look at what Jesus says, what the Bible says about how brilliant church is. Don't miss out and realize how essential it is for your Christian life. As I say, that we might be people here who think, yeah, that's kind of me. The fact that we're all here at church means that often, you know, Daniel, you're kind of preaching to the converted a little bit on this kind of thing. But actually, all of us will know people, have friends, for whom this is an issue. And can I say, it's all of our responsibility. Okay, don't just wait for the ministers to go chasing people up. It's all of our responsibility to encourage people who profess to be Christians to be involved in the body. And just some words of encouragement as you speak to people. You know, the solution is the same for everyone. Okay, the solution is that people understand what God says about church, how important it is, what the point of it is. Okay, so the more you can understand that and express it, the better that will be. But also, be sensitive to the fact that for some people, it's just because church isn't the priority. For other people, there's like a massive emotional blocker. Okay, so ask, you know, why is it that you find church a challenge? Actually work out what's going on, and you'll know the best way of addressing some of those issues. We need to all be doing this. We need to be doing it sensitively as well. But what a wonderful thing to belong to a body, diverse and yet united, growing together in our maturity, our knowledge of Jesus. So whoever we are tonight, let's resolve to be the body of Christ together, a body united together by Christ, a body growing up together in Christ. And let me close our time with a prayer. Loving Father, grow us, we pray, as a body. Grow us here at St. Mary's, grow us here at the 6:30 in the way that we express this. Help us to grow in our love and service of each other as we hear your word week by week. And please build us up. Help us to put church and your people at the heart of our priorities, just as you do, Lord Jesus. And please, even tonight, would you continue to build us up as we meet together. Amen.